This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We continue with our program tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, talking about the power of the voluntary prayers. And today in this halaqa, we'll be talking بإذن الله تعالى about the duha prayer and the excellence of the duha prayer, and also the prayer for greeting the masjid, which is called tahiyyat al-masjid in Arabic. And inshallah, next week we continue with the same program. We'll talk about some other voluntary sunnah, voluntary prayers. So what is the duha prayer? It is a non-obligatory prayer performed at forenoon. Forenoon, it's the early part of the day. And there is an agreement between all Muslim scholars that this is not an obligation. Yani it is a voluntary prayer, non-obligatory prayer. But it is, we can call it a prescribed sunnah prayer. What is the difference between, you know, the unrestricted, the prayers that were not prescribed, and the prayers that were prescribed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Those who were prescribed, they have a specific name. They could be done for a reason, and they have a name. So when you stand up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you try to remember the niyyah, the intention. If you're doing Salat al-Duha, so you need to have this intention, the niyyah of doing Salat al-Duha. But if you pray in the morning between like 8 and 12, another prayer without the intention for Duha, it will be accepted as a nafl, as a general unrestricted nafl prayer. So, but it is a time, it is an excellent time for this specific prayer, which is Duha prayer. Now, what are the proofs about the excellence of this Salat? We have مثلا the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in which he said, أوصاني خليلي. Khalili. It's a beautiful term here. He's talking about his relationship with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, أوصاني خليلي بثلاث لا أدعهن حتى أموت. صومي ثلاثة أيام من كل شهر وصلاة الضحى ونوم على وتر. هذا الحديث في البخاري ومسلم. So Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه is saying in this hadith, my friend or my close friend, and he meant the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, advise me to do three things. He said, advise me to do three things, and I shall not leave them until I die. This is a statement of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him this advice, said, keep doing these three things, do not leave them. To fast 3 days every month, and then to perform the duha prayer, and to perform the witr prayer before going to bed. To perform the witr prayer before going to bed. The same advice was given to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Abu Darda used another term. He said, أوصاني حبيبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بثلاث لن أدعهن ما حييت. Like Abu Darda made the same statement. He said, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, my beloved friend, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised me to do three things. These are the terms used by Abu Darda. Awsani habibi, my beloved friend, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised me to do three things, and I will not leave them as long as I am alive. This is a statement of Abu Darda. And he mentioned the same three things: to fast 3 days every month, to perform duha prayer, and to perform witr prayer before going to bed. Now I have to explain myself here. Now three days, are they the white days of fasting? They could be, it's fine. If you decide to fast 3 days, the white 3 days of fasting, or the, you know, that's fine. The 13th and the 14th and the 15th of every Islamic month. Or you fast from any day of the month, as long as you fast 3 days, then that's fine. You'll be able to fulfill this nasiha that was given by Rasulullah ﷺ to some sahaba, right? It's not an obligation. These are optional ibadat, right? It is your choice if you want to do them. The duha, of course, as I said, it is a nafila prayer that is offered between during the forenoon, which is the first part of the day, and we'll talk about the exact timing, the beginning and the end of it. When are we supposed to, end, or when are we supposed to pray, like which time we are supposed to offer the duha prayer? We cannot do them like after dhuhr. But if you miss them before dhuhr, are you allowed to make them up or not? That's a different story. This is a matter of disagreement. We might talk about it. But the most important thing is to know the exact timing in the morning. Now anyway, this is an advice that was given to Abu Huraira, an advice that was given to Abu Darda, and the hadith of Abu Darda is found in Sahih Muslim. In Sahih Muslim also, we got the hadith of Abi Dharr radiyallahu anhu. He said that Rasulullah s.a.w. said, يُصْبِحُ عَلَى كُلِّ سُلَامَ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً فكل تسبيحة صدقة وكل تحميدة صدقة وكل تهليلة صدقة وكل تكبيرة صدقة وأمر بالمعروف صدقة ونهي عن المنكر صدقة. قال ويجزئ من ذلك ركعتان يركعهما من الضحى. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, every morning a charity is due upon all the bones, on the bones and the joints of every one of you, every morning. And Rasulullah ﷺ told us that every human has 360 joints, al-mafasil. These are the joints, right? This is what Rasulullah ﷺ said. Researchers in modern times have different opinions, but this is what Rasulullah ﷺ told us, that every human, maybe he meant adults, they have 360. There are some researchers from Japan. They said, yes, every human has 360. But there are some Western researchers, they have different opinions. But they said they should be between 300 and 400. So they are not going afar from what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned. But this is a different subject. It's a different subject. But anyway, we believe in the message of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that every human being has 360 joint. So he's saying here in this hadith that every morning a charity is due on the joints and the bones of everyone. Maybe joints only. So, but he said each utterance of subhanallah is a sadaqah. Each utterance of alhamdulillah, say subhanallah, alhamdulillah after the salah. This is an act of charity. Each utterance of La ilaha illallah is an act of charity. Each utterance of saying, Allahu Akbar, Takbir, Allah is the greatest, is an act of charity. And he said, enjoining what is good is an act of charity. Enjoining what is good, Amrun bil Ma'ruf. Wa nahiyun anil munkar, forbidding evil, is an act of charity. But he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and two rak'ahs, which one prays in the forenoon, will suffice instead of that. So basically talking about the excellence of Salat al-Duha, Salat al-Duha will be equivalent to 360 types of charities. Salat al-Duha, two rak'ahs of Salat al-Duha are equivalent to 360 charities. This is we're talking here about the excellence of Salat al-Duha. In a different hadith عن أبي هريرة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, لا يحافظ على الضحى إلا أواب وهي صلاة الأوابين. وهي صلاة الأوابين. He said, no one maintains the habit of praying Salat al-Duha except someone who is awwab. Who is awwab? He is someone who repeatedly turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tawbah and istighfar. He's a very sensitive person. Whenever he makes a mistake, he would remember his mistake right away and keeps making istighfar and tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is awwab. And three prophets were described as awwabin in the Quran: Dawood alayhi salam, and Sulaiman, And another prophet, he could be Ayyub alayhi salam, if I'm not mistaken. At least three prophets were described as being awwab. And some ulama, they said awwab is any pious, devoted, and God-fearing person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qal, فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لِلْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُورًا فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لِلْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to forgive the sins of those who are awwabin, those who repeatedly turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tawbah and istighfar. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, basically, this is the salat of al-awwabin. Because they care about their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they care about their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they try to increase their salat. And this is a good time to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because basically people during this time will be busy with their business. People who work at office, they go to work and they have to be at office. It could be difficult for them to pray duha if they want, unless they have a private place in their office or they have a private prayer room in the company. Maybe they will be able to do it. Or if someone is working at home, of course it should be easy for him to do it if he wants to. There is another hadith Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُصَلِّ الدُّحَى أَرْبَعًا وَيَزِيدُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Messenger of Allah used to observe 4 rak'ahs in the forenoon prayer, and he sometimes performed more as Allah decreed for him, as Allah wished, right? She didn't mention a specific number. This hadith is important. We're going to need it. We need this hadith when we talk about the maximum numbers of rak'ahs of Salat al-Duha. What is the maximum number of Salat? Is there a maximum number for Duha prayer? So we need this hadith when we talk about this mas'ala bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Of course, I don't want you to be confused. You might actually come across some ahadith from Aisha, and they are authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have the habit of praying Salat al-Duha. What she meant here in the other ahadith, that he was not consistent. He did not have the habit of praying Salat al-Duha on a regular basis. This is well confirmed. And he did it for a reason. He herself, Aisha radiallahu anha, explained, she said he was worried. He was worried about the Duha being, becoming mandatory upon the Muslim Ummah. He used to care about his Ummah. But then, for example, he said, لولا أنا شق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك عند كل صلاة عند كل وضوء لولا أنا شق على أمتي. If it was not for the fear of making things difficult for the ummah, I would have commanded them to use the siwak whenever they make wudu. So it means that using the siwak or cleaning your mouth or brushing your teeth before you make wudu is important. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not want to emphasize this ibadah because he doesn't want to make your life difficult. That was his concern, alayhi salatu wasalam. So Aisha radiallahu anha explained in one hadith that he did not want to be consistent with the Duha prayer because he didn't want to add an extra burden on the ummah. But on other occasions, alayhi salatu wasalam, he advised his sahaba to do Duha prayer on a regular basis. And we mentioned the example of Abu Huraira and Abu Darda radiallahu anhuma. In a different hadith, and this is Sahih Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salatul Awwabina hina tarmadu al-fisal. He said the prayer of those who are penitent, al-awwabin, those who repeatedly turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tawbah and istighfar, is offered when the young weaned camels feel the heat of the sun. So it was their habit, when they see that the young camels are, sitting down and they're affected by the heat of the sun, they know that a quarter, it was their way of calculating time, that a quarter of the day has gone, a quarter of the day, which means it's half of the time between sunrise and zawal. Sunrise these days, for example, 7:40. maybe around that time, 750, right? And Zawal around 1220. So half of the time would be quarter of the time. Basically, maybe 2 hours before Zawal. So that is the best time for Salat al-Duha. But it is permissible to do it before that, and it is permissible to do it after that, as long as you do it before Zawal, 15 minutes before Zawal. We'll talk about it. But the best time for Duha is around maybe 2 hours or 3 hours, it depends on the season. As long as it is half time between sunrise and Zawal, the best time is half time. Around these days, around 10:30 maybe, these days. Zawal is around 12:20, so these days around 12:30, that's the best time. Because Rasulullah said, Salatul Awwabina Hina Tarmadu Al Fisal. He said, the prayer of those who are penitent, or awwabin is offered when the young weaned camels feel the heat of the sun. And this is how they used to calculate time at that time. The question, what is the minimum number of rak'ahs of the Duha prayer and what is the maximum number of the Duha prayer? So the minimum numbers of rak'ahs for the Duha prayer is 2. There is no one rak'ah in this nafila prayer during daytime. The only prayer that could be offered in one rak'ah is al-witr. Al-witr prayer, which is done at night, right after Isha, between Isha and Fajr. So that's the only prayer that could be done in odd number. But all the other prayers, they have to be done 2 by 2. Anyway, the minimum number of rak'ahs for the Duha prayer is 2 rak'ahs. Now the maximum we have for the maximum number of Duha prayer, we have three opinions. The first opinion is the opinion of the Malikis and the Hanbalis. They said they are 8. The maximum number are 8 rak'ahs. And their proof is that it's a story that took place during the conquest of Mecca. Rasulullah, during the conquest of Mecca, he went to the house of his cousin, Ummu Hani. Ummu Hani, she was Ummu Hani, the daughter of Abi Talib. She was the sister of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. So she was the cousin of our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In her house, he decided to take a shower. She said, I came to him to say salam. He was taking shower and his daughter Fatima was covering him. He took shower because he was traveling. He came from Al-Madinah. It's a long trip, right? So he needed to take shower and then he prayed 8 rak'ahs in her house. And it was, the time was Duha. She used to believe, Hani, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, that these 8 rak'ahs were done for Duha prayer. That was her understanding. And she used to tell the other Sahabis that Rasulullah ﷺ prayed Duha prayer in my house, 8 rak'ahs. Right? That is the story of Hani, and it is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. And this is the understanding of some Muslim scholars that the maximum number of Duha prayer should be 8. Right? The problem with this argument is that Rasulullah ﷺ did not say clearly that these are Duha prayers. These rak'ahs are for the Duha prayer. He did not say it. Most likely it is the understanding. When you read this ahadith of Hani, you feel like this is the understanding of Hani radiallahu anha, right? Now, why? Because there are some ulama who understand, they said there is another option. What Rasulullah ﷺ prayed in the house of Hani could be called Salatul Fath, the prayer of the conquest. And he said, this is the understanding of some Sahabis like Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas and Khalid ibn al-Walid and some other Sahabis who when they conquered some other cities and other countries, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for them to open a country or a city, they would pray this Salat, is called Salatul Fath, the prayer of the conquest. So there is a disagreement between Muslim scholars about the nature of these 8 rak'ahs which Rasulullah ﷺ offered in the house of Hani, his cousin Hani in the city of Mecca. And secondly, the second problem with this argument is that even if these 8 rak'ahs were Duha prayer, there is no proof that this is the maximum number. It could be that Rasulullah ﷺ decided to offer 8 rak'ahs on that day. It could be that he chose for no other reason, Allahu A'lam, to pray 8 rak'ahs in the house of his cousins. So we're not sure, because he didn't say that this is the maximum number of the duha prayers. So these are the problems with this argument. The second opinion is the opinion of Imam Shafi'i, or the Shafi'is and the Hanafis. They said the maximum numbers of the duha prayer is 12 rak'ahs. 12 rak'ahs. What is their proof? A hadith that is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. And in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever prays 12 rak'ahs for the duha prayer, Allah will build for him a palace in Jannah. So this is a beautiful hadith. The only problem is, it's a weak hadith. It's a weak narration. And the chain of transmission of this hadith is not very solid, is very weak. It's a weak hadith. So we cannot use it as a proof. The third opinion is the opinion of Imam al-Tabari, some other scholars and some other contemporary scholars. They said there is no maximum number for the duha prayer. And I follow this opinion. And the reason I follow this opinion, as I said, because of the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, in Sahih Muslim, she said the Messenger of Allah used to pray 4 rak'ahs for the duha prayer, and he sometimes performed more as Allah pleased, as Allah decreed for him. She did not mention a specific number. And this is in Sahih Muslim. So the hadith of the 12 rak'ahs is weak. The other 8, the hadith of the 8 rak'ahs is not clear if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed duha prayer or something else. And even if he prayed duha prayer, he didn't say that this is the maximum number of duha prayer. But we have the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih Muslim, in which she said that he used to pray 4 rak'ahs. This is Sahih Muslim. And sometimes he would do more as Allah wishes. And she didn't mention a specific number. So this is could be a strong, a good proof that there is no maximum number. I am saying, sharing this with you, I'm sure that most of the people will pray 2 rak'ahs, 4 rak'ahs for duha, because people are busy, very busy these days. We're busy. But for someone who has time, and he feels like excited, and he wants to pray, like he works at home, or he's retired, or he has time, right? And he wants to do 20 rak'ahs for duha prayer, then we tell him it's okay, alhamdulillah, because we don't have a clear proof from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that there is a maximum number for the duha prayer, maximum number of rak'ahs for the duha prayer. So if you want to do 14 or 16 or 20 or 24 or 30, it's up to you. Nas'al Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq lil jami'. The other question, what is the timing of this sunnah? The timing of the sunnah, they said, the ulama, they said the timing begins when the sun has risen to the height of a spear. Again, this is their way of calculating time in the old days. When the sun has risen to the height of a spear, which is 15 minutes after sunrise, to be in the safe side. But other scholars, they said 10 to 12 minutes, but no one has said that it's possible to pray Salat al-Shuruq or al-Ishraq or al-Duha. We're going to talk about the difference of these names here, difference between these names. To pray this, to offer this prayer before 10 minutes have passed, after sunrise. So you cannot wait 5 minutes after sunrise and you offer this prayer. 10 minutes, you're taking a big risk. Because it's a time of forbiddance. These are times, they are called the forbidden prayer times. أوقات النهي عن الصلاة. أوقات النهي عن الصلاة. So to be in the safe side, you make it 15 minutes. But if you are in hurry, you make it 10 minutes, that should be fine, inshallah, but not less than 10 minutes. Not less than 10 minutes. Make it more than 10 minutes, you will be in the safe side, بإذن الله تعالى. So this is the beginning of this time, right? Until just before the sun passes its zenith, Again, Zawal time, and it is 15 minutes before Zawal. Again, 15 minutes before Zawal. If you make it 10 minutes before Zawal, that's fine. Which means you end your prayer, you end the Dhuha like you forgot. You're planning to pray Dhuha prayer at 10 o'clock, 10:30. But you waited and you forgot and you remembered like 20 minutes before Zawal. These days, Zawal is 12:21. You remembered exactly at 12. You made wudu. You want to be in the safe side, try to end your prayer before 12:10. This will give you 10 minutes before Zawal. Don't pray during these 10 minutes because it is a time of forbiddance. And by the way, Rasulullah ﷺ said, should not pray during this time, and you should not bury your dead during this time. Three times he said, we're not supposed to bury our dead. During sunrise, which is like, as I said, 15 minutes after sunrise, and also this time before Zawal, 10, 15 minutes before Zawal, and also the time of Ghurub. Ghurub is when the sun is setting, so it's around maybe 4 minutes, 5 minutes, right? Before the sun completely sets, right? But I'm talking about burying our dead. I know here in Calgary we don't have this problem. We bury the dead people after Dhuhr. We usually pray Dhuhr prayer, we do janazah, and we go to the maqbara, to the cemetery after Dhuhr. Usually it's happening between Dhuhr and Asr prayer. Just in case, but this is knowledge that we need to know. If you are in a different country and they have a different habit, you need to know that Rasulullah ﷺ do not bury your dead during these three times. And there are also times of forbiddance, time of forbidden prayers. Taib. So we said it begins with 15 minutes after Zawal, after sunrise, and we have to stop praying Dhuha prayer 15 minutes or 10 minutes before Zawal. So basically, these days, for example, let's say Shuruq is tomorrow or today, it was 7:54. Then the time for the Dhuha will start at 8:04, right? 4 minutes after 8. And then it stopped. The time will end 10 minutes before Zawal, which is 12:11. 12:11 these days, based on the timings of today. Now, what is the difference between the Dhuha prayer and the Ishraq or the Shuruq prayer? Naam? Both are the same? Yes, this is the opinion of the majority of Muslim scholars. And this is what we follow, this is what I feel is the right opinion. That both are the same. So the Ishraq prayer is a Dhuha prayer that is done at the beginning of the day. The Ishraq prayer is a Dhuha prayer that is performed 15 minutes or 20 minutes after Shuruq or after sunrise, right? And this is the opinion of the majority of Muslim scholars. And this is what I believe, Wallahu ta'ala alam, Allah knows better, is the right opinion. Because there is no proof, there is no clear proof that there is a separate prayer that is called Shuruq prayer or Ishraq prayer. So if you do it 15 minutes after sunrise, it is called Ishraq prayer and it is called Shuruq prayer. Ishraq and Shuruq are the same, two words for sunrise. And it is a Dhuha prayer. But it's not the best time for Dhuha prayer. But if you are in the masjid, it's good to pray two rak'ahs before you leave the masjid because of some other reasons. Right? You are in the masjid, you prayed Fajr, and you stayed in the masjid reading the Quran and making adhkar, and you waited till sunrise. So you want to offer these two rak'ah for Dhuha prayer or Ishraq. So it's good. You're doing it for a reason because there is a hadith. And if this hadith is hasan or sahih, some ulama, they said it could be sahih, you get the reward of what? Or umrah or hajjah, right? You get the reward of someone who performed hajj or umrah. Of course, this hadith is controversial. We're not sure if it is authentic or not. Some ulama, they said it's authentic. But I don't have problem with these things. We shouldn't have problem with these things because it was the habit of Rasulullah ﷺ to stay after Fajr till Shuruq. The mas'ala, the matter is with the hadith. Is it authentic or not? Are you going to get the reward of Umrah or Hajj or not? That's a different story. But if you look at the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to stay in the masjid after Fajr till Shuruq. If you want to follow his sunnah, if you are able to do it, it's beautiful. Because the when you stay in the masjid, the malaika will keep making dua for you. Allahumma aghfir lahu warham. After for every salat, not only Fajr. If you perform any salat in the masjid and you stay in the masjid doing the adhkar of the salat, the malaika will keep making dua for you. Allahumma aghfir lahu warham. Allahumma aghfir lahu warham. Oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, have mercy on him. And you will be benefiting from the dua of the malaika. Until you lose your wudu or you leave the masjid, then the malaika will stop making this dua for you. It's a beautiful thing to do, right? They said, this is how you earn the istighfar of the malaika. This is one way, one easy way of earning the istighfar and the dua of the malaika. Tayyib. So, as I said, majority of Muslim scholars do not believe that there is a difference between Duha prayer and Ishraq prayer or Shuruq prayer. There is another question, what is the status of the Duha prayer? So majority of Muslim scholars, they believe it is Sunnah Mu'akkada, highly confirmed Sunnah, highly recommended Sunnah. Others called it Mustahabba, yani it is a regular Sunnah. Allahu Ta'ala alam, yani, but regardless of this disagreement between these Muslim scholars, and I think both of them have a point. Both of them have a point, both groups. Because the second group who said it's not mu'akkada, it's just mustahabba, because they said Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not consistent in doing duha prayer. He would leave it for days until people feel like he does not pray, he doesn't offer duha prayer. And he would be, and other days they would watch him doing duha prayer. So he did not have the habit of doing the duha prayer on a regular basis. So yeah, it's very difficult to call it a sunnah mu'akkada, highly recommended sunnah. But the other scholars looked at the other hadith, the hadith of Abu Dharr. It is equivalent to 360 sadaqah. It is the wasiyah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to his close friends, Abu Huraira, Abu Darda. He advised them to keep doing it. Right? So these ulama, they said, we have enough proofs that this sunnah should be highly recommended sunnah. I mean, regardless whether you call it sunnah mu'akkada or just a regular sunnah, it is an important sunnah. You should agree that it is an important voluntary prayer. And if you do it, inshallah, you will be one of the awwabeen. Huh? It's beautiful to be called al-awwab, right? A person who is awwab. We said three prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them awwab. Dawood alayhi salam, and we said Sulaiman, and maybe Ayyub alayhi salam, if I'm not mistaken. Tayyib, there is another question. Is there another prayer called Salatu fil Awwabin between Maghrib and Isha? So that is a question that people have, some people. Like in the Shafi'i Madhab, they believe in the Shafi'i Madhab that there is a Salah called the Salah of Al-Awwabin, and it is six rak'ahs, six units after Maghrib. Of course, after performing the highly recommended Sunnah, the Ratiba. The Ratiba Sunnah, we said, you know, we talked about the Rawatib. How many rak'ahs we said they are? Na'am? Yes, 12 rak'ahs, na'am, jazakallah khair, 12 rak'ahs. And two of them are after Maghrib, right? So you do these two, because we have enough proof. Yani it's a highly recommended sunnah. Sunnah mu'akkada, rawatib. But they said after rawatib, we're supposed to do six extra, another six rak'ahs, and they are called, and it is called Salat al-Awwabin. So they have a hadith, من صلى بعد المغرب ست ركعات لم يتكلم بينهن بسوء عدلنا عبادة ثنتي عشرة سنة. So in this hadith, a translation of this hadith, whoever prays after Maghrib six rak'ahs and he did not use any empty talk between them. Like he doesn't do two rak'ahs and then he would talk something that is useless. And then he does another two rak'ahs. He keeps on doing these six rak'ahs without talking to other people or, you know, sharing jokes or doing anything like this. Then his ibadah, this six rak'ahs will be, or the reward of this six rak'ahs will be equivalent to the ibadah of 12 years. The problem with this hadith is very weak. This hadith is very weak. And all the hadith about the virtue and the excellence of these six rak'ahs are very weak. But some ulama, they said, okay, we have a couple of weak hadith about the excellence of these rak'ahs, then they should support each other and empower each other, and this hadith could be accepted. This is a matter of ijtihad. You know what I mean? Some other ulama, they said, all these ahadith, some of them are very weak, some of them are fabricated, so we should stay, يعني, we shouldn't confirm this sunnah. Because calling the duha al-awwabin, salat al-awwabin, salat al-duha, calling it salat al-awwabin, we have a proof in Sahih Muslim. صلاه الاوابين حين ترمض الفصال ان صحيح مسلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم called it صلاه الاوابين but the proofs about the other six rak'ahs are very weak. Now but we have to keep something in mind, is it permissible to do nafila prayer between maghrib and isha or not, to do unrestricted nafila prayers between maghrib and isha, is it permissible or not? Na'am? It is. There is no problem with that. It is not a time of forbiddance. If you want to keep praying between Maghrib and Isha, the whole time between Maghrib and Isha, that's fine. That's your choice. You want to do 20 rak'ahs, 30 rak'ahs, that's your choice. One Sahabi, he narrated a story. He said, I went to the masjid to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I found him praying between Maghrib and Isha, doing just nafila prayer between Maghrib and Isha. Between Maghrib and Isha, how many rak'ahs? Allahu A'lam, he didn't tell us about the numbers of the rak'ahs, but he said, I saw him praying during the whole time between Maghrib and Isha. That was his choice during that specific night, alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is a time for salah. It is a time for salah. It is not a time of forbiddance, but to pray six rak'ahs and call it salat al-awwabin, we don't have a valid or a strong or authentic proof about this specific prayer, Wallahu Ta'ala A'lam. Right? Now, we need to talk a little bit about Tahiyyat al-Masjid, the prayer of greeting the Masjid. Tahiyyat al-Masjid is a sunnah voluntary prayer. We have a hadith, a famous hadith, the hadith of Abu Qatada in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. إذا دخل أحدكم المسجد فلا يجلس حتى يصلي ركعتين. This is the main proof about تحية المسجد. The hadith of Abu Qatada, when one of you enters the masjid, let him not sit down. Let him not sit down until he has prayed two rak'ahs. This is the main proof about this sunnah. The hadith of Abu Qatada is found in Bukhari and Muslim. And Imam al-Nawawi, rahmatullahi alayhi, said the imams are unanimously agreed that it is a mustahab, recommended to greet the masjid whenever you enter a masjid with these two rak'ahs, and it is makruh. It is makruh. It is not haram. So if you sit down without praying this, offering these two rak'ahs, you will not be doing something haram. But he said it is makruh. It is disliked that you sit down without greeting the masjid with two rak'ahs. So it is a sunnah. Some ulama called it sunnah mu'akkada, highly recommended sunnah. Wallahu ta'ala alam. However, there are some related matters that we need to talk about when it comes to this salah. When the greeting of the masjid is waived. So there are cases when the greeting of a masjid is waived, you don't have to do it. When a person entering the masjid is the khatib for the Jum'ah prayer. The sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he entered the masjid during Jum'ah, he doesn't pray two rak'ahs. He doesn't greet the masjid with two rak'ahs. He goes to the minbar right away. That was his sunnah, alayhi salatu wasalam. So if someone is a khatib, he doesn't have to pray these two rak'ahs, or it's not a requirement for him. It is not recommended for him, I would say, to pray these two rak'ahs. He can go directly to the minbar, sit down, say salam, offer the salam to people, sit down and wait for the adhan to be made, and then he can start his khutbah. That was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we follow his guidance, alayhi salatu wasalam. The second one, if the person entering the masjid is planning to perform another prayer, you're entering the masjid and you're planning to offer another prayer, whether mandatory, dhuhr or asr or maghrib, or another voluntary prayer. So in this case, it is not a requirement for you. I wouldn't say you don't have to, because it's not an obligation. It is not a requirement, or you can, it's okay, you can miss the tahiyyat al-masjid. You can pray the nawafil, the ratiba prayer, coming before dhuhr, and you want to pray the four rak'ahs. That would be enough. And it is not a requirement for you to pray tahiyyat al-masjid in this case, because you decided to pray the four rak'ahs before dhuhr without praying tahiyyat al-masjid. It is not disliked in your case. You will not be blamed for missing tahiyyat al-masjid, because you will not sit down before offering any prayer. You will be offering some prayers. So these prayers will be, and you don't have to mix between combine between the intention of the intentions of two prayers. You say, okay, I'm doing now the ratiba, and at the same time, you know, it should be tahiyyat al-masjid too. I'm including tahiyyat al-masjid in this salah. You don't have to complicate things. The moment you decide to pray something else, then tahiyyat al-masjid is waived. The requirement of praying, offering tahiyyat al-masjid is waived, and you don't have to offer tahiyyat al-masjid. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Number three, if the person enters the masjid and finds that the congregational prayer is already established, Muslims are praying, the jama'ah is on, or the mu'adhin is making the iqamah for the mandatory prayer, then this person is supposed to join the jama'ah. He's not supposed to pray tahiyyat al-masjid or any other prayer. Why? Because we have a hadith in Sahih Muslim, إِذَا أُقِيمَتَ الصَّلَاةِ فَلَا صَلَاةَ إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَةِ إِذَا أُقِيمَتَ الصَّلَاةِ فَلَا صَلَاةَ إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَةِ This is in Sahih Muslim. So you don't give priority to another prayer when Muslims are praying, offering a mandatory prayer. Even for Fajr prayer, Ikhwan. Even for Fajr prayer. Because we know that some people, they come for Fajr prayer, they find Muslims are praying Jama'ah, they start offering the Sunnah. The Sunnah prayer. While the Imam is leading the prayer, the congregation is on. No, you are not supposed to do that. The hadith is very clear in Sahih Muslim. إِذَا أُقِيمَتَ الصَّلَاةِ فَلَا صَلَاةَ إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَةِ So he said, when the iqamah for prayer is recited, then there is no other prayer except the mandatory prayer. Except the mandatory prayer. Pay attention to this, Ikhwan. I don't want to talk about madhahib here, but the message is very clear. Now, case number four, if a person enters al-Masjid al-Haram in the city of Mecca with the intention of performing Umrah or Hajj, or performing tawaf, then here this person should not start with tahiyyat al-masjid. He's supposed to start with his tawaf right away. What will happen to this person? He will be, he's recommended to offer what? The two rak'ahs of tawaf, the prayer of tawaf, and this will be enough for him. He doesn't have to, after his tawaf, he doesn't have to offer tahiyyat al-masjid. Now, if a Muslim is going to al-masjid al-haram, but he's not planning to do tawaf, he's planning to read Quran or to attend a mandatory prayer, he's in Mecca, for example, he performed his umrah, he's staying in the hotel, and then he goes to pray Salatul Dhuhr or Maghrib or Isha in masjid al-haram, but he's not planning to do tawaf, then he doesn't have to do tawaf, but he's supposed to pray Tahiyyat al-Masjid, to offer the prayer for greeting the masjid right before he sits down, before sitting down. Right? So it depends on your intention if you are in al-Haram. If you're planning to do tawaf or perform umrah or hajj, and of course hajj and umrah, you're supposed to start with tawaf, then you don't have to do these two rak'ahs. Now there is another question. While praying sunnah prayer or the greeting of the masjid, the iqama is called. What should I do? You enter the masjid and you started offering the tahiyyat al-masjid, the greeting of the masjid, right? Or offering a nafila, another nafila, a ratiba. And then the muadhin started doing the iqama. What are you supposed to do? The best opinion, wallahu ta'ala alam, if you are in the first rak'ah, you quit your salah. If you are in the first rak'ah, you quit your salah and they join the jama'ah. Because most likely if you finish, or there is a possibility, if you try to complete this nafila, or you complete tahiyyat al-masjid, you will be taking the risk of missing the first rak'ah with the imam. And this is not... Na'am? No, I'm talking about the iqama, not the adhan. You don't quit the salat while the adhan is being done. The iqama, they're going to start the jama'ah. So they start the jama'ah, now the priority should be given to the mandatory prayer. So if you are in the first rak'ah, you quit. And the best opinion, wallahu ta'ala alam, Allah knows best. If you are in the second rak'ah, you try to finish it very quickly. So in this case, you will be able to complete your sunnah prayer, and you will be able, inshallah, to join the jama'ah, and most likely you'll be able to join the first, the catch the first rak'ah, because you are in the second rak'ah. So in the second rak'ah, of course, you are allowed to quit. You're allowed to quit, but this is the best advice, and I follow this advice. If I am in the first rak'ah, I quit, and I join the jama'ah. If I am doing the second rak'ah, I don't quit. I try to complete the salat very quickly, and then join the jama'ah. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Now there is another question. Are we allowed to offer the prayer for the greeting of the masjid during the forbidden prayer times? The forbidden prayer times. Times when salat is prohibited. So we said about these times, they are, in general, they are from dawn, from fajr, till the sun has risen to the height of a spear, which is around 15 minutes after sunrise. You can make it 10 minutes, no less than 10 minutes, right? To be in the safe side, make it 12 minutes, 13, 14, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, that's fine. So from dawn, from Salat al-Fajr, till 15 minutes after sunrise, this is the first time of forbiddance. We are not supposed to offer Nafila prayer, right? The second time, when the sun is directly overhead at noon until it has passed its zenith, which is, as we said, 15 minutes before, to be in the safe side, 15 minutes before Zawal. But if you make it 10 minutes, should be accepted. To be in the safe side, don't make it less than 10 minutes before Zawal, which means you are not supposed to offer duha prayer or any other prayer during that time. Wallahu ta'ala. And the third, from Asr prayer, the third time from Asr prayer, until the sun has completely set. When the sun has set, then we can make adhan for Maghrib, and we start. We don't wait after Maghrib. We don't wait for 15 minutes. We wait for 10 minutes to do the iqama here in Calgary, just to give time to people. It's not a time of restriction. It's not a time of forbiddance, these 10 minutes. We have 10 minutes for the iqama, for Salat al-Maghrib in all masajid in the city of Calgary. It's not a time of forbiddance. The moment we make the adhan for Salat al-Maghrib, then we can pray, we can offer. We said that before that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to offer two rak'ahs before Maghrib. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa used to encourage them, but he used to say liman sha, which means it's not highly recommended. We talked about the regular sunnah prayers, which are, how many prayers you said, you remember? Eh? Not the highly recommended. The other regular, eh? 10, yes, we said 10. We said 10, we mentioned 10. We said 10 after, 2 after Dhuhr. So 6 highly recommended, 4 before Dhuhr, 2 after Dhuhr. These are 6 highly recommended the rawatib, the ratiba sunnah prayer. Another two, to make it four before, after dhuhr. Another two. So two after dhuhr. And four before asr. Four. These are not highly recommended, but these are regular sunan. We said there are 10. Two before maghrib. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, pray before maghrib. And then he said, offer two rak'ahs in another hadith, offer two rak'ahs before maghrib. And then he said, liman sha', for whoever wishes. Yani it's an option. And the sahaba used to do it in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, and then two before Isha. So these are 10. So now the third time for forbiddance is from Asr prayer until the sun has completely set. So basically these are the times of forbiddance, the times when Salat is prohibited. Are we allowed to pray Tahiyyat al-Masjid? Two opinions. We have the Maliki and the Hanafi in one side, and we have the Shafi'i and the Hanbali in one side. Most of the contemporary scholars are supporting the opinion of the Shafi'i and Hanbali, because they said there is enough proof that we can pray, offer any prayer during this time, as long as it has a specific reason. Dawat al-asbab, they call them dawat al-asbab. So unrestricted, unconditional, general nafl prayer are not permissible during this time. But if a salat has a specific reason, then you can do it. One of them is tahiyyat al-masjid. The other one is prayer for tawaf, sunnah of tawaf. You finished your tawaf 1 hour before maghrib. Are you supposed to wait until maghrib and then you pray the two rak'ahs for tawaf? No. No one said so. So you do these two rak'ahs because they have a specific reason. What else? What else? Na'am? Any salat that might have a specific reason? Istikhara, they said, ulama, they said istikhara, it's better to delay it until it is allowed to, we're allowed to offer the prayer. But they said, if you are dealing with an emergency and you have to make a decision, you are in need of making a decision, then it's okay. You are between Asr and Maghrib, let's say in the summer, we have like maybe 4 hours, right? Between Asr and Maghrib, 4 hours, right? 6 to 10, right? In June, in the month of June, Maghrib is 10 o'clock. And you have to make a decision at 8 o'clock. And you need to make istikhara. So some ulama, they said, if you're dealing with an emergency, it's okay. You can pray Salat istikhara, and it has a specific reason, and it should be fine, inshallah. Yes, brother. Let me conclude here. I follow the second opinion, that if a prayer has a specific reason, you can do it. So for example, if we enter the masjid between Asr and Maghrib, and you want to do Tahiyyat al-Masjid, I believe it is permissible. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed, he made up actually a sunnah that he missed after dhuhr, he made it up after Asr. And it is a time forbiddance. He saw a Sahabi making up the sunnah of Fajr after Fajr prayer. After Fajr prayer. He asked him about it. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I missed my sunnah and I'm doing it right now. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say anything. He kept quiet. And yeah, he kept quiet because he approved what he did. This is an approval from him, alayhi salatu wa salam. And approvals, his approvals are part of the sunnah. Right? So we have enough proof that if there is a specific reason for any salah, then you can do it bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, as long as it is justified. The other thing is that if you forgot to offer your salat, مثلا, let's say you forgot Asr prayer, you did not pray Asr prayer, and you remember that you did not pray Asr prayer 5 minutes before Maghrib, are you going to wait until Maghrib is in and you pray Asr, or you pray Asr right away? Right away. Even if it is a time of forbiddance. The moment you remember a mandatory prayer that you missed, then you have to do it as soon as possible. Even if it is a time of forbiddance. Yes, brother, tafaddal. I answered your question, alhamdulillah. I read your mind. تفضل أخي. صلاة الجنازة. Okay. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, don't bury your dead. That's a good question. During the time of forbiddance. So after Asr, you can do it. صلاة الجنازة. There is no problem with it. The question is, it's a good question for these three times. 15 minutes after sunrise, 15 minutes before Zawal, and time of Ghurub, which is like 4 or 5 minutes. Right? So these are, يعني, it's not a big deal. Like, it's not a long period of time. 15 minutes is nothing. If someone مثلا has a janazah, it is safer to delay it 15 minutes and then you pray janazah. مثلا, the people brought janazah inside the masjid 15 minutes or half an hour before dhuhr, and they want to offer the janazah prayer just before dhuhr. We tell them, wait another 15 minutes until dhuhr is in, and we pray janazah after dhuhr. So try to avoid that time, right? Because he said, do not bury your dead. This is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salat al-janazah could be included. I'm not sure 100%, but it could be included. Right? We are not supposed to pray salat al-janazah during that time. But these are, as I said, these three times are very restricted. Yani 15 minutes after sunrise, 15 minutes before zawal, and 4 or 5 minutes before maghrib, before the sun fully sets. Jazakum Allahu khair. Another question? Yes, sister, go ahead. There is, two opinions. Mas'ala sahla, it's an easy matter. Two opinions. There are some ulama who said, if it is a place of salat and people go there and they offer their salat, it's not a masjid, but it is a space that is used for salat because it could be used for something else, right? You might get some non-Muslims who will come there and they offer their own prayer. So it's not a masjid. It's a multi-faith room. Or, if people decide to pray Salat al-Eid in an open field, are we supposed to pray Salat al-Tahiyyat al-Masjid or not? It's not a masjid. And yet we are doing Salat al-Eid there. Right? So there are two opinions. Yani, and the matter is very easy. Whether you follow this opinion or follow the other opinion, it's fine. So the choice is yours, basically. It's up to you. If you want to pray Tahiyyat al-Masjid, you can do it, because there are some ulama who said, yeah, we're supposed to do it. If you don't want to do it because you don't believe it's a masjid, that's fine. Wallahu ta'ala. This disagreement is about offering Tahiyyat al-Masjid in a stadium or in a place where an open field where we offer Salat al-Eid. And it should apply to these places. Wallahu ta'ala. Tahiyyat al-Masjid, you do it, even if you are traveling. But you don't do the ratibah before dhuhr, after dhuhr. You don't do the rawatib after maghrib, after isha. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do the two rak'ahs before fajr. He used to do them all the time, whether he's traveling or local. And he used to pray witr. And the other, duha also, he used to pray duha and qiyam al-layl. But these highly, the 12 rak'ahs, he used to miss the salat before dhuhr, after maghrib, after isha, he used to miss this salat when traveling. Because he would shorten, مثلاً, isha, he would shorten dhuhr, he would shorten asr prayer most of the time when he's traveling. He would do qasr, alayhi salatu wassalam. If you're doing qasr, you don't do them. If you are completing your salat, let's say you go to Edmonton or another place, and you decide to stay more than 4 days, the majority of Muslim scholars believe if you are planning to stay more than 4 days, you know that you are staying 10 days or 15 days or 1 month, then you complete your prayer. You become like the local people. And then you need to do the sunan. If you want to do them, of course, there is no obligation, but again, you do them because you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be consistent with your sunnah prayers. Another question?
On entering the masjid, what is the dua we should make?
Naam?
While entering the masjid.
Entering the masjid, Bismillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, Allahumma iftah li اللهم افتح لي ابواب رحمتك يا او الله open the doors of your mercy for me يا اللهم افتح لي ابواب رحمتك ورحمه اللهم اني اسالك من فضلك اللهم اعصمني من الشيطان نعم that's another dua that when you leave the masjid yes these duas are found in Hisn al-Muslim there is a booklet that is called Hisn al-Muslim and all these duas and supplications are there it's called Hisn al-Muslim they have an app it is widely available on the internet And also there is a booklet that is being sold. You can make an order and Fortress of the Muslim. It's called the Fortress of the Muslim. Yeah.
I think the Wadiq Sunnati will be having more reward. Some people are really making so many Sunnati Salah.
Pardon?
Wadiq Sunnati, that will be most rewardable. Wadiq Sunnati.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you pray these 12 rak'ahs, Allah will build a house for you in Jannah. Right? And we said in the previous halaqa that most likely, Wallahu ta'ala alam, you get a new house for each 12 rak'ahs. There are two opinions. Is it one house for maintaining this habit your whole life? Or one house, one extra house for every 12 rak'ahs? This is what I feel. I feel this is the most correct opinion. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Of course, I'm not sure 100%, but I'm inclined towards this opinion that Allah will give us an extra house in Jannah for every 12 rak'ahs, right? So when we talk about Jannah, we're talking about kingdom. We're not talking about small house or a small garden that you spend your whole life, eternity, you spend your whole life there in this place. You're talking about kingdom, right? Could be thousands of houses and palaces and Yeah. You'll never be bored. Tfaddal.
How many kilometers?
83 kilometers. Around 80. It's a little bit less between 77 to 83. Most of the ulama, they said 83 kilometers. Yeah, if it is between any distance between 77 to 83, you can benefit from these concessions and make qasr. Most of the ulama, they said, if you are planning to stay more than 4 days, then you should complete the prayers. If you are staying for less than 4 days, let's say 3 days, 4 days, or 3 days, 2 days, you are allowed to shorten the prayers during this period. But if you pray with a jama'ah in the masjid, obviously you're going to complete the prayer. You go to the masjid and you pray with the jama'ah. Even if you are a traveling person, you join the jama'ah and you complete the prayer with them. But if you are praying by yourself at the hotel, then you, of course, shorten your prayer. If you are staying this short period of time, less than 4 days, and this is the opinion of majority of Muslim scholars, especially when you know. There is one opinion, if you don't know, let's say you go to a place and you don't know when you're going to go back, stay 10 days, 13 days, 15 days. In this case, there is one opinion, and it has some valid background, because Rasulullah ﷺ stayed in Mecca, and he was shortening the prayer for 19 days. The ulama, they said he was not sure. He was not sure when he would leave the city of Mecca. That's why he was shortening the prayer. This is their argument. Allahu ta'ala alam. Yes, brother. During Jum'ah, we answered this question last week. We said yes. If the imam is giving the khutbah, you pray Tahiyat al-Masjid, but you need to finish them, complete them very quickly. Like, you don't have to even recite a surah. You can recite al-Fatiha in these two rak'ahs, in each rak'ah. In each rak'ah, you recite al-Fatiha, do them very quickly, and then you listen to the khutbah. Yeah, because we have a story that took place during the time of Rasulullah ﷺ. A person came inside the masjid, sat down, Rasulullah ﷺ told him to stand up, pray the Tahiyyat al-Masjid, and then sit down. But he told him to do it very quickly. Yes. I'll come to you, Sister Riv.
When it comes to the Salat al-Witr, is it better to pray in Dua'a
Okay, yeah, we mentioned the hadith, yani the advice of Rasulullah ﷺ given to Abu Darda and Abu Huraira to offer the Witr prayer before going to bed. But we know that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sometimes delay. Most of the time, at the end of his life, he used to delay Qiyam al-Layl and Qiyam al-Witr and doing Witr till the end of the night before Fajr. So the conclusion is, if a person is confident that he will be able to wake up at the end of the night, 1 hour, let's say, before Fajr or something, right? Then it's okay. He can delay Salat al-Witr. You wake up, it's a beautiful time, 1 hour before Fajr, Thuluth al-Akhir min al-Layl, the last third part of the night. You offer your Qiyam al-Layl, and then you pray Witr at the end. Because Witr should be the last prayer, right? But the ulama, they said, if you are not confident that you will wake up, then it's better for you to offer the Witr prayer before you go to bed. And that was the practice of the Sahaba. Some of them, they used to do it before the going to bed, before sleeping. And some of the other Sahabis, they had confidence that they will wake up. They were confident about themselves. Said, we will wake up, inshallah, make Witr, pray Qiyam al-Layl at the end of the night, and do Witr before Fajr. Then they used to delay the, you know, Salat al-Witr till the end of the night. So it's not a must, يعني it's not a, that is his nasiha, alayhi salatu wasalam, to Abu Huraira and Abu Darda. Maybe he knew that it's better for them to pray Salat al-Witr before they go to bed. That was his advice for these Sahabis. But we know this conclusion is there. And the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, as I said, some of them, they had this habit of doing Witr before going to bed. Some of them used to delay Witr, and they used to do it before Fajr. Allah Ta'ala. Yes, sister, someone raised his hand or her hand. Can a woman lead the prayer?
Yeah, not with men, but just
with a group of women.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And she stand up in the middle of the line. Well, this is what we know, that Sahabiyat radiallahu anhum, they used to stand up in the middle of the line and lead the prayer, lead the other women. Yes, brother. We'll talk about it. Maybe, inshallah, we'll talk about it. Still have next week. I'm not sure if we need another week, but I'll let you know. Yeah, so next week we will talk about the same subject, because we still need to talk about Salat al-Hajjah. Salat Sunnat al-Wudu, and Qiyam al-Layl, night prayer. So we need to talk about these salawat, inshallah, and maybe Witr prayer. So I'm not sure if we need two other halaqat, two sessions, or only one session. Most likely we need two sessions, November 22nd and maybe November 29th, till the end of the month, inshallah. So we'll talk about Salat al-Tasabih here. It's part of the Witr, but in the Maliki Madhab they call it Shaf'an Witr. Shaf'an Witr. So they call the two rak'ahs before the Witr, the last rak'ah, they call it Shaf'ah. But it's all part of the Witr. Yeah. We'll talk about Witr prayer when we talk about Qiyam al-Layl, inshallah. When we talk about the night prayer, most likely maybe next week, inshallah, next Friday, this coming Friday. Yes. No, women have to be behind you if you are leading the prayer. Yeah, two people, you are praying with your wife or with your sister or your mother, she should be behind you. That was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. Yes, brother. Naam. When you are doing sunnah prayers, the basic principle, night prayers are allowed prayers. This is the basic principle. Day prayers are quiet, silent prayers. In general, we're talking about generally speaking. Otherwise, Eid prayer, you know, some ulama, they said, could be highly recommended. Some other ulama said, could be wajib. Wallahu ta'ala, but it is allowed prayer, Eid prayer. And we do it during daytime. Right? But the basic principle, day prayers Day prayers are silent. Night prayers are loud. Loud, but not very loud, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you shouldn't cause another person who is sleeping in the same room or in the same area to wake up, right? You have to be careful. So you hear yourself. You should hear yourself, right? But don't be careful about taking into consideration the other people who are sleeping in the same house, right? You don't want to distract them and or bother them if they don't want to wake up for Salat for Qiyam al-Layl, right? So you need to have some balance here. Yes? Witr? Witr, we said, should be the last prayer. If you are planning to do Qiyam al-Layl, then you delay witr. You offer witr after you finish your Qiyam al-Layl. Huh? You don't do it and then you pray Qiyam al-Layl. This is not recommended. Tayyib, I think we should stop here. Yes, sister. He should be leading. Huh? As I said, if you have a man in the family, unless women are praying by themselves and his brother is praying by himself, that's a different story. But if there is a man in the house, he should be leading the prayer. I mean, if he's very sick and he's not able to pray, well, he has his own condition, medical conditions, well, that's a different story. But she cannot lead him. That's my point. No. He's allowed to lead you, yeah, even if he's 7 or 8. There was a boy who was 7, Amr ibn Salama, at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to lead the prayer. He used to lead adults because he was a hafiz. He used to memorize the Quran. He was 7 years old, Amr ibn Salama, radiallahu anhu. So if he knows how to read the Quran, you're confident about his wudu, you just need to make sure that he's doing wudu properly, your son. His wudu is good, and inshallah he can lead the prayer, yeah. Pardon? Was a revert? You're asking difficult questions here. A revert should learn, sister. A revert should learn how to pray. Otherwise, let him pray by himself, you pray by yourself, until you're confident about his qira'ah, and then you pray together. I know this is a common problem these days, because it's a good problem, because we have many people who are accepting Islam these days. MashaAllah. Big numbers. Just a few days ago, we got 4 people who accepted Islam in UFC. In one day. And this is very common in Calgary. MashaAllah, we have a group, dedicated group, a Mercy Da'wah Center. They're very active, basically going on a regular basis to universities in Calgary and going to downtown and inviting people to Islam. MashaAllah, may Allah bless them and bless their efforts. So we have these brothers and sisters who are accepting Islam, and it's a very good question, actually. So he should learn, and until he are confident about his qira'ah, then you can ask him to lead, inshallah. Yes, brother. I think we should be the last question. I don't want to, 9:07. Yeah, go ahead. Pardon? We're riding his camel? Yeah, it was Qiyam al-Layl. On the camel. It was Nafila. Yeah, if it is Nafila, yes. Yeah, if you're sitting, for Nafila, you can pray the Nafila while sitting. You miss 50% of the reward. But the Salat is valid. But when it comes to mandatory prayer, you cannot offer the mandatory prayer while sitting, unless you have a valid excuse. You have some medical health conditions. You're not able to stand up. You're not able to do the qiyam. Because qiyam, standing up in salat, in mandatory prayers, is a rukn. So you cannot on purpose sit down in a mandatory prayers. But in a nafila prayer, in a sunnah prayer, you are allowed to sit down, but you miss 50% of the reward. You get only 50% of the reward. You get half of the rewards. If you're not facing the Qibla, no, you should face the Qibla. But in the beginning, when Rasulullah was riding his camel, of course, in the beginning he started, he used to do Takbir al-Ihram while facing the Qibla. And then he would be riding his camel, of course, during the Salah. The camel could be going left and right, and he would be missing, you know, the direction of the Qibla during the Salah. But he would start while facing the Qibla. I'm talking about Nafila, not mandatory prayers. Ya Ikhwan, we are not allowed to pray the mandatory prayers in our cars. I saw Muslims doing it in Calgary. Many incidents. One time here, a brother, he came to the masjid. He used to come to this masjid. A nice brother who had a good intention. He didn't know about it. So the masjid is closed. It's not open. And the parking, there is no snow in parking. It was summertime. And he used to offer his prayers, mandatory prayers, in his car, in the parking. Ya akhi, this is a parking that belongs to a masjid. It's very easy. Yani, it belongs to the masjid. Even if you pray on the ground, on the floor, even if you don't have a sajada, the parking area is clean. Usually it's clean in the summer. There is no snow, there is no dirt. You can offer your prayer on the ground. You're not allowed to pray, offer your prayer in the salat unless you have a valid excuse. And I tell people the only valid excuse, the only situation that I imagine is in the summer, in the winter, when time is very limited between Asr and Maghrib. You haven't prayed Asr. You are on a highway, on a bridge, and there is no way you can pull to the side and offer your prayer on the ground. Cars behind you, cars in front of you, and you have only 10 minutes or 15 minutes before Maghrib, and you know that if you don't pray in the car, you miss Asr prayer, and it's winter. Right, and the problem is because you cannot combine Asr with Maghrib. Because if it was Dhuhr, you delay it. You combine Dhuhr, you have a valid excuse here. Delay Dhuhr to pray, to offer the Dhuhr with the Asr prayer. Right, combine them. Maghrib, combine it with Isha. But Asr and Maghrib, you cannot combine between Asr and Maghrib. So that's the only scenario that I would imagine a person would do, would offer his mandatory prayer in the car. Otherwise, in the summer, I don't think he'll get stuck there. There's enough time between, you know, Maghrib and between Asr and Maghrib. You should have enough time to, you know, finish your trip, and then, inshallah, you pray on the ground, right? But don't pray in the car without a valid reason, because you'll be missing proper qiyam, proper ruku', proper sujood. Yes, I said this is the last question. Do you allow him to ask another question? It's up to you now, guys. Huh? Flying? Flying, I'll tell you what I do. I ask the people, the flight attendants, to allow me to pray. To give me a space if it is a big, of course, big plane. Going like overseas to Europe, usually these planes are very spacious. And there is always a corner where, beside, you know, the area where they prepare food, can find a corner where. So I usually ask them for permission. I ask for permission. If they say yes, I pray. If they don't allow me, I pray in my seat. Right? And I had this kind of experience with Muslim companies didn't allow me to pray. Didn't allow me, Muslim companies. But in other cases, with non-Muslim companies, he said, okay, go ahead and do it. And I offered my prayer while standing up, doing ruku' and doing sujood, proper ruku', proper sujood. Yeah, it was difficult after September 11, very difficult. But now, alhamdulillah, it's fine. It's fine. You can ask for permission, and most likely they will allow you to do it. Yeah. جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم. May Allah bless you, bless your time, bless your families. We'll see you next week, inshallah.